you very much.
You did a great job. I just want to do some prophetic stuff here before we get started. Because the Spirit of God is in this place. I had someone come up to me right before I walked up here, and they said they saw each person that had a flame on their head. This is a day of activation. This is a day we're going to pour kerosene or gasoline on the fire that's on the inside of you. You know that Paul wrote to Timothy and said to Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that's within you. Do you know what that means? Just picture this. Just picture this fire, and it's just slowly going out. And then you take a stick and you start to poke at it and start to churn at it. And all of a sudden, the fire starts blazing up and blazing up and blazing up. This is a day of activation. This is a day of multiplication. This is a day where God's going to take you to a place that you didn't think you were going to go. And one thing, there's been so many confirmations to this message. I don't know if you remember last Sunday, Jeff was down here, and Denise gave a prophetic utterance, and Jeff interpreted it, and he kept on saying, don't be afraid of the fire. The fire is not here to hurt you. The fire is here to burn off impurities. The fire is here to make you more like Jesus. Spotless Lamb of God. And he said, everything that I have is yours. My purity is yours. My innocence is yours. My sinlessness is yours. The gift of healing is yours. The gift of wisdom and tongues, interpretation of tongues is yours. It's all for you. I died for you to have all of these things. Don't leave here without getting everything that you need. I don't know how many of you here were here last month when I spoke, but we created like a river up front. And God told me this time that that was a river of water, but this time he's going to create a river of fire. And another confirmation that came was at men's prayer meeting, not this yesterday, but the Saturday before. Shane had a vision of it was like a pillar of fire, correct me if I'm wrong, Shane, or fire in the middle of the room. And he said, I just kept on kind of keeping it to myself. And then Pat just threw down a chair in the middle of the room, and he said, God, burn everything off that you need to be burned off. Is that correct? And then one by one, each man sat in that chair, and God dealt with them with the fire. When, I don't know if you all saw the Facebook page of Yosemite. There it is. So when Jeff posted that, I looked at it and I was like, what exactly is that? And while I was asking the question, I had a message playing in the background by Jettison Franklin. How many of you know Jettison Franklin? And I'm not kidding you. Jettison Franklin starts talking about Yosemite. Meanwhile, I'm asking the question in my head, what is that? And he says, well, at Yosemite Park, what they would do is they would cut down all these trees, and they would take all the dead trees, and they would put them at the top of that mountain, and they would light it on fire. And then they would get bulldozers, and they would push the logs over and create this falling wall of fire, and thousands of people would come to would come to look at it and see it. And they don't do it anymore, but that's... Meanwhile, I'm looking at this on Facebook, and Jettison Franklin, who gave the message 9 years ago, begins to explain to me what exactly that is. That's a multidimensional God. You know, we live in this third dimension. What in the world? What dimension does God live in? I don't know, 11, 12, 30, 40, 60, 100. God, help us understand who you are and the magnitude of your presence and what it means for you to be in this house right now. I pray that every eye would be opened, every ear would be unclogged. I pray for healings. I pray for signs. I pray for miracles. I pray for wonders because you are God and you can touch your people. Do you know that God knew you before you were ever here? He told Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before you were ever in your mother's womb. My goodness. A man tries to plan his way, but God orders his steps. And he told Jeremiah, he said, you're going to be a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah's like, no, I'm not. He's like, oh, yeah, you are. You watch. You watch. Jeremiah said,
God induced me.
How many of y'all been pregnant here before? No men are raising their hands. But women that gave birth know what it's like to be induced. Jeremiah said, God induced me. He kind of tricked me. He kind of set me up. He kind of put me in a position that I didn't really plan. How many of y'all in here today get into situations where you're like, how in the world did I end up here? Why did I do that? Why did I make that choice? Whoa, whoa, whoa. And then you end up in this place. And God says, you're exactly where I want you. You're exactly where you are supposed to be right here, right now. Do you know that God 10,000 years ago saw each one of you sitting in these chairs? And he said, I'm bringing each one into the house because I got a plan and a purpose for them. Most of you were like, I don't even want to come. I don't even know why I'm here. I know why you're here, because God is going to touch each and every one of you. That whole row right there. That whole row. Oh. See, like, God's not necessarily into touching individuals. He wants to touch rows. Uh-oh. He wants to touch rows. I'm going to have to get a new flag. He wants to touch Rose. Rose. He wants to touch everybody. None of you are exempt from the touch of God. None of you are exempt. None of you are too far gone. None of you have done something so bad that God cannot touch you. Jesus, we thank you for your fire, and we thank you for your power. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. You know, Paul said, I just didn't preach the word. He said, I did it in demonstration. I demonstrated the word. I just didn't want to teach it and read about it and go home and talk about it. He said, the word that I spoke, the anointed word that I spoke, actually came to pass. And the word that God speaks in here today will come to pass, because God's word does not return void. What he sets out to do, he does. And when his word goes forth, it starts breaking stuff off of you. Do you know that this man right here, Timothy, right? First time he was over at my house, we had prayed in the spirit for, I don't know, a good 45 minutes. And I went off into this tangent about God taking a sledgehammer and a wedge and driving it through wood. And the wood was splintering. It was like a 75 degree day, and it was like maybe 3-mile-an-hour winds. Tim and I are sitting on our porch, back porch, and all of a sudden we hear this. And two trees that were probably, I don't know, 120 years old, both fell at the exact same time up on this hill. They came crashing to the ground with no wind. And we went up to these trees and we were like, what in the world is happening? What in the world is going on? Like, we were so dumbfounded. It was a wonder. We were like, what? We were wondering what in the world just happened. What in the world just happened? Two trees go crashing to the ground. They were like 100 feet tall each. And you know what I was saying when those trees, before those trees hit the ground? I said, man, there's something, I don't know what it is, it seems like in my life, where I feel like I'm almost there, and I can almost taste it, almost grab it, but I get pulled back. And as I said, it feels like there's like a monster pulling me back. And when I said that, those trees went, and they hit the ground. And what God was saying is, there's no mountain too high for you. There's no stronghold that you've been in. You may be in here today and you say, well, I've dealt with this for 20 years. You don't understand. You don't understand how long I've dealt with this. You don't understand. God understands, and God is big enough to break anything off of you that needs to be broken off here today. God's coming back for a bride without spot or blemish. And one of the things that's going to happen here today is there's going to be a purification. God's going to move through you. God's going to move through his people, through the laying on of hands, through words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And however he wants to do it, he's going to do it. So the Jettison Franklin thing. And then Isaac comes down here last Sunday. I don't know how many of you were here. He's standing right there and he says, I see fire all over the altar. So I see fire all through here. None of these people are talking to each other. None of these people are coordinating this. None of these people are texting each other and saying, hey, this is what we need to do next. God is orchestrating the things that are happening in this house because he wants a bunch of people so radical and so free and so on fire for him.
You say, why is that? Because our daddy is an all-consuming fire. It says he's an all-consuming fire. He's not just water. He's fire. You say, how does that work? Because he's incredibly dynamic. He's like, I'm the A and the Z. I'm the first and the last. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I can be water and fire all at the same time. I can do it all at the same time. He can wave his hand over a city and save everybody. It says at the end, he's going to roll this whole thing up like a scroll. Everything that he's created. He's going to do this. He's going to roll the whole thing up. He's going to roll the whole thing up. And then he's going to unroll it. The depression is going to be gone. Anxiety is going to be gone. All of these things is what our daddy offers us. And he says, why not now? What are we waiting for? So Isaac comes up and talks about the fire. Sherry sends me a message the day after the worship that was here January 24th. They did the worship night. This is what she said. She said, there was a river flowing from the altar down the steps into the sanctuary that was flowing very strong. Towards the end of the night, two tall angels came in and they lit the river with torches and the fire blasted out. Now, Sherry texts me this, and one thing she says is, towards the end of the night, one of the worship leaders says, there's fire all over this altar. Confirmation after confirmation after confirmation that God wants to move. And he wants to move in fire. Confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. So thinking about when the fire falls, the last time I spoke, we talked about the river of God in Ezekiel. And I said it was interesting because the Bible talks about God being a river of living water and also a consuming fire. So I immediately started thinking about Daniel, specifically in chapter 7, where it literally says in verse 9, this is what it says. It says, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. I love that he's seated. I love the idea that Ancient of Days is just, he's relaxed enough, and he has enough rest, and he's chill enough. He's going to sit down. The Ancient of Days is seated. It says his garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. It doesn't say there was flames coming off his throne. It says his literal throne was flames. Can you picture that in your head? Let your imagination go wild and picture the Ancient of Days sitting on a throne that's just a big old fire. He's sitting on the thing. And it says its wheels were burning fire. The thing had wheels. God had a mobile throne. God had a mobile throne. The thing wasn't stationary. It was moving all over the place. It reminds me of the vision that Ezekiel had. And Ezekiel had this vision of God's glory, and it was like wheels upon wheels, and there was these four living creatures, and they all had four different faces, and they had all these wings going on, and they were flying all over the place, but they were flying in unity. These things are real. The heavenly host is real. Angels are real. Demons are real. These things are real. His throne was a fiery flame, and its wheels were burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth before the throne. So you've got this thing where the throne is an actual fire, the wheels are burning fire, and a fiery stream is issuing and coming forth from before him. There's a fiery stream coming right out from his throne. Thousands, thousands ministered to him. 10,000s of 10,000s stood before him. We're talking about millions and millions and millions of people. The court was seated and the books were open. It says his throne was a fiery flame. Notice the throne had wheels. It was a mobile throne. It had a river of living fire, river of fire flowing from it. What a vision, what a scene. Can you imagine? Thousands and thousands ministering to him. Tens of thousands ministering him. These are the burning ones. And he asks us today, he says, do you want to be a burning one? You know, Revelation, it talks about this idea of you have these people, and some of them are red hot, some of them are cold, and some of them are lukewarm. God was like, I'd rather have you cold because at least you can put ice in water and it does something. Lukewarm doesn't do anything. But he says, I'd rather have you hot. I'd rather have you on fire. I'd rather have you shooting the flames of God's presence from you. Everybody breathing. Read Daniel, man. Read Ezekiel. It's better than any sci-fi movie you'll ever see. So in Exodus 24, it says then when Moses went up onto the mountain, a cloud covered the mountain. It says, now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was an all-consuming fire. So it was an all-consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and for 40 nights, like a consuming fire. What God wants from us is he wants us to be like Moses, where we run into it, where we go into the midst of it, where we don't sit on the outskirts and we don't sit on the sidelines and we look at it and we say, oh, it's not for me, or that's too wild, or that's too radical. Listen, we serve a wild, radical God. I don't know. Dear Lord, read Ezekiel and read Daniel and read Revelation. You want to talk about wild? He's wild. But we want to be like Moses and heading into the midst of the cloud and not run like the Israelites did. The Israelites didn't want to hear God's voice. In Hebrews 12, verse 25, it says this, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not refuse him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. Do you realize that God's voice shakes the earth? The vibration of God's voice coming from heaven literally shakes the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but I'm also going to shake heaven. So I'm not going to shake this globe, just this globe. I'm going to shake the heavens too. I'm shaking both of them. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are being made, that things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is an all-consuming fire. All-consuming fire. We just talked about Jeremiah. Jeremiah said in chapter 20, verse 7, oh Lord, you induced me. You induced me and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and you have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everybody mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted violence and plunder because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. God said, yeah, you will. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back and I could not. That's where God wants to bring us. God wants us to bring this into this place where his word on the inside of us is such a burning fire that we cannot shut our mouth. We cannot stop talking about what God is doing. Revelation 1, starting in verse 12, this is what it says. It says, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Fire. You know, when you talk about light in the Bible, when you're talking about lampstands in the Bible, you know, we have a tendency to think, because we got a lot of battery-operated stuff. We got electricity and stuff. When it's talking about you are the light of the world, it says you are the fire of the world. Are we going to put a fire up on a hill and put some kind of covering over it? He says, let your light, let your fire so shine that men see your good works and glorify him. We don't search after glory. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. John is doing the best he can to explain something that he's someone that's on earth trying to explain a spiritual dimension. And he's doing the best he can. And this is what he comes up with. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. Flames of fire. When he was looking at John, flames of fire were coming out of his eyes because he's an all-consuming fire. His feet were like fine brass as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. Just picture a 90-degree day with the sun blasting down, and if you look directly at the sun, it says his face was just like it. Huh. How do you know when you've seen the fire of God? How do you know when you've seen this all-consuming one? How do you know when you've seen his eyes of fire? And when I saw him, I fell as a dead man at his feet. Man, we need a revelation of the reverence and holy awe of God. Yeah, he says, you are my friend, but also I am your God. I am your God. I am your God, and I am an all-consuming fire. But he laid his right hand on me, said to me, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the one who lives and was dead. And behold, I am living forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and death. The great I am. He is, he was, and he's coming. He is, he was. What's the is part? He's here right now. And he's going to come. He's not going to stop coming. He's going to keep coming and 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 keep coming. The kingdom of God is not going to lose momentum. It's going to gain force and momentum. The Bible says he makes his ministers like flames of fire. Flames of fire. You remember when Moses saw that bush and it was on fire, and the fire didn't consume it, but it drew his attention to it. God spoke out of that bush. We're going to end up here, and then we're going to pray. So Leviticus 9 verse 22, this is what it says. It says, Aaron lifted his hand towards the people, blessed them, and came down from the offering, the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. It says, then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. The fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. They shouted and they fell on their faces, just like John did, like dead men. The fire was associated with the acceptance of the offering. And we know that Jesus told 500 people to go up into the upper room. Only 120 showed up. And 120 people showed up. And the sound of a mighty rushing wind came into that room. And after the mighty rushing wind comes in, it says literally tongues of fire sat on each one's head. And the vision in here today was each one of you has a fire over your head. And prayer people, if you want to come down, come on down. Just like we did last time, but it's going to be different. There's probably 10 or 15 people that talked to me afterwards after we did that, and they were like, man, I wish I would have went down. Man, I should have gone down. I said, here's your chance. If you were one of the ones that didn't come down last time, I encourage you to come down. Y'all can stand. Prayer people, anybody that was in those two lines last time, go ahead and make two lines. And this is our prayer. And praise and worship people, if you want to come. All the prayer people that were down last time, come on down. Just make two lines, one on the left and one on the right here. God said, dig a ditch and I'll fill it. Sometimes you have to dig a ditch. All we're doing is we're making room for God to move. We're giving God a platform to move. And this is the prayer right now. Go ahead and line up, everybody. We're praying that God lights this area on fire with his presence. And my prayer, and it's a big prayer that I'm praying, that everybody goes through this line is healed. Because today is the day. The Bible literally says that today is the day of salvation. And we're creating a space. All that you need to touch, come on down. Start coming down. Start coming down. And nothing is too big for God. Come on down, everybody. Start coming down. Don't have this as a day where you leave and you're like, oh man, like last time, I should have been down here. We pray for your presence and your anointing right here, God. Can everybody just raise their hand that's in the line right now? Lord, we just worship you right now. We thank you
And we usher in your presence right now. We usher in your fire. We usher in oil, the oil of the Lord, that the oil of the Lord be all over these people, all over your hands, be all over this floor. The fire of God be all over this floor. God, you be all over this. All right, let's go. Let's come on down. Thank you for your flames of fire, God. Thank you for your touch. Just lay hands if you've got a word of wisdom, if you've got a word of knowledge. We thank you, Jesus, for each one. Each one. We bind the hand of the enemy that would try to interfere or try to talk somebody into, well, that's not real. Well, I'm too far gone. I've had this for a long time. I've been through prayer lines before. Nothing happened. Well, today something's going to happen. Because we are a people of faith. We're a people of prayer. And we believe our God is big enough to do anything. We believe in the God of the impossible. That all things are possible. We all pray this in Jesus' name. And we seal this in Jesus' name. Amen.